You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley Davidson North. Kansas City's biggest selection of brand new 2021 Harleys are here now at I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WirthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
The most important days are not today and next week and the week after. It's going to be, what do we do with the momentum we can create? What do we do with those initial building blocks? Because this is going to be something that has to be built for sustained success. And that's exactly what I'm here to do. We do have a plan, and it's about, well, when will I have enough information? When will I have had enough engagement? And what would be the right approach to launching that forward? So that's about as you can follow up with a question. That's about where we're at here on day two. It's taken more than two decades, so many selfless mentors and supporters, and some divine intervention to help me find my way back to Lawrence. But I can sure assure you, it's been worth every second of that wait. Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
And now, still trying to figure out who Mark Adams is. Wasn't he the fat first baseman for the Cardinals a few years back? Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810. WHB, thank you for joining us on a soggy Wednesday. We have put to bed the college basketball season, so we will bring to life our head coach rankings of the Big 12 this hour. Dun, that dun, is dun, what dun, we dun, will dun. Do. Always a fun conversation. I always enjoy it. And usually there's consternation. Like today when I said that there were a lot of softballs being lobbed towards Travis Goff, you heard there in the open, you know, the cheerleader fans will get up. Can the guy just at least have the job before you start pestering him? No, he cannot. He's got the job. There are questions to be asked. No, the answer is no, but I get it. The fandom takes over, so we will either make you happy or piss you off here over the next 60 minutes as we break down the college basketball coaches. We'll welcome in Greg Gurley here in 1 second. We will bring you some of the highlights of that Travis Goff press conference a little bit later on. We will be joined by one Frank Bull. We'll get some Frank opinions coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Gary Parrish traveling yesterday in the program today to wrap up the college basketball season. So it's like a college basketball sandwich, the buns, if you will, right? The Hawaiian, Royal Hawaiian buns.
Oh, those are
that,
so good.
That they are now adding to the Z-Man. This is no joke at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. I cannot wait to try this. I cannot wait to try this. We're going to bun it like that. I can't tell you what's going to happen in between. It's going to be as good as a Z-Man or my personal favorite, the Rocket Pig sandwich. But I can tell you that, you know, that's the blueprint we're using to construct the program today. It's a Z-Man sandwich at Joe's.
The best rolls I've ever had. I won't buy anything else. I've not had the buns. I'm sure they're going to be, I can't imagine that sandwich with on those Hawaiian.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be like the Hawaiian rolls, just the size that you need for a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh.
So
adding a whole new element to that, an already great sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that heart attack creeps even closer, doesn't it, Curtis?
I actually got good news in that regard today, so it's rare that I get good health news.
I find that hard to believe, Curtis.
So did I. I was like, who is this, actually?
Yeah.
I thought it was
who's talking here?
Jed was pranking me or something.
All right, let's get to it. Let's start breaking down the coaches. We're going to go 10-1. Not that one is going to be a shock, or will it? As there's increased competition this year up at the top. I've been tweeted at by folks saying, hey, Scott Drew's got to go to number one right now, doesn't he? Our head coach rankings, of course, brought to you by our friends at Wirth Harley-Davidson North. I-29 at Tiffany Springs, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road, if you're going to GPS it. Great, great inventory, great selection right now on new and pre-owned Harley-Davidson motorcycles. It is a great time to take advantage and get a great deal on Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Nobody does a better job of getting you onto a Harley-Davidson motorcycle than my guys at Wirth Harley-Davidson. I'll find them online at WirthHarleyDavidson.com. That's WirthHarleyDavidson.com. Check out the best selection of bikes anywhere around. It's at Wirth, like I said, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. Greg Gurley joins us now on the T-Mobile guest line, of course, color analyst for the Kansas Jayhawks, basketball insider for us here at Sports Radio 810. Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to our rankings. We did it last year and had a lot of fun with it.
We did. We're using Greg Gurley here on our Big 12. He found this out yesterday. And finding out right now is probably Jared Sutton is our plan to use for our SEC rankings. So we're looking forward to that as Jared has joined us in the past. So we're going to get Jared in for the SEC a little bit later on. But we break down the Big 12. And we got some fresh blood, fellas. Let me remind people where we stood last year. Everybody had Bill Self as the top dog. What are the notes? Let's see. Everybody had Chris Beard, number two. There was two Bob Huggins for me and Gurley at number three, two Scott Drews for Curtis and Jed. I had Drew four. Curtis had Huggy Bear four. Lon Kruger at four for Jed. Scott Drew at four for Gurley. Then it was Kruger and Huggins filling out. Although Curtis had Bruce Weber at five. Everybody else had Weber at six. Shaka Smart was anywhere from 10th on my list. I thought he was getting fired. 10th on Jed's, 7th on Curtis's. He had a fine year and outperformed that. 8th on Greg Gurley's. The 10th spot was held by Shaka Smart, Mike Boynton, and Jamie Dixon, depending upon where it was. So you could see who was down there at the bottom. Steve Prohm, 8th or 9th. He's now gone. So fresh blood, that's where we sat last year. Guys, let's break this down now, where we go this year with the rankings. Let's start at number 10. Who is everybody putting down at the bottom? We'll save Greg and I. Well, Greg, we'll let you go. We'll let Gus go first. Who do you got at number 10 for your coaches?
Well, it's unfair to this individual, but he is brand new, and I'm going to go with T.J. Otzelberger. I don't know him. I don't think he's a bad coach. Somebody's got to be 10th. But, you know, he's walking into a situation that isn't great right now. I mean, they fired their coach for a reason and brought him in. And he was a guy that has been there a long time, knows Ames very well, but he had recently left and kind of cut his teeth in a couple other programs. So, unfortunately, he's getting the 10th spot simply because of the situation.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, what is T.J. Otzelberger, right? Does anybody even know right now? I think the answer to that question is no, we don't, because he had 2 years at UNLV. What was he, one game above 500, I think? And that's not to say that he can't coach. We just don't really know what he's going to do in a power league. He's getting his first crack, and he hasn't been long enough anywhere else to really know, you know, he's doing a good job of restarting the shot clock. Can we say that?
Sure.
Yes.
I think it's fair. All right.
Yeah, and you look at yeah, some of the guys that he was credited in recruiting was big time guys. George Yang, Naz Long, Matt Thomas. I mean, Matt Thomas is a guy that still plays in the NBA that people completely forgot about. So he's got some ties. He's done a good job recruiting. Now he's getting the job that he probably always wanted. So there you go.
Yeah. No, we're going to find out. Now he gets to put his money where his mouth is, and we'll find out how good he is. Who's at number 10 for you, Curtis?
Bill Self. I think I'm going with the guy that almost everyone would have had to have looked up to see who he was, Mark Adams at Texas Tech. Not a lot of hope for me. He's been around the program for a while. He's a Tech grad, but you know, most guys don't take their first Division I head coaching job at 64, so I don't think there's gonna be much coming out of Lubbock.
All right, and I think that would certainly be one of the names that you would have on the list. Jed, yourself.
In a stunning upset, I actually did look up Mark Adams and found out that he's had a little bit of success in the state of Texas at lower levels. Like Curtis said, he's a Texas Tech grad, but that program outside of what Chris Beard and Bobby Knight really have done hasn't been much. I don't think Lubbock is a great place to recruit to. He might have some okay talent left over from Chris Beard, but with the talent or with the transfer portal the way that it is, who knows whether those guys would even stay. So I'm putting Mark Adams at the bottom of the list.
At the junior college level, he wanted an 8-12 clip. At West Texas A&M, he wanted a 7-30 clip. At Texas Pan America, he wanted a 3-28 clip. When he seemed to butt his head into the ceiling at Texas Pan America, I see no reason why this is going to suddenly get better. When you go to Texas Tech, this is just a let's try to hold on to what we got, which is never, ever a good hire. He may be a fine assistant coach. This is not going to work, and I agree with you. I've got Mark Adams at the bottom of my list. I don't know how. I think that you talk about just being totally shell-shocked if you're Texas Tech, because I think you've got to be able to do better than just turning around and doing that, don't you?
Yeah, if you're asking, I would question that as well. And then, North Carolina did it with Hubert Davis, but an entirely different situation. So, I hate to admit it, but I did not know that name until he was appointing the coach, and we'll see how he does. And the Texas Tech people got to be licking their wounds right now because they had a superstar in Chris Beard. And, Saran, you and I were talking earlier that some of them can't believe that he left, but it makes sense to everyone outside of the city of Lubbock that he did leave, and now to have Mark Adams be the coach, which, like you said, he could be a great guy, could work out, but there's not much telling us that that is the case.
Yeah, you've got to have a crystal ball if you're coming to the conclusion that hire is going to work out. There's no other reason to be thinking that that's going to work. So
what it is, too?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, because this is current news with Roy Williams retiring, you forget back in 1988 when Kansas hired Roy Williams, he was essentially Mark Adams. He was a guy, he was the second assistant at North Carolina. Now, the difference being Mark Adams was actually coaching at Texas Tech, but Kansas hires a Roy Williams that outside of the state of North Carolina, nobody really knew. And it worked out great, but you just don't see that anymore. But we're seeing it right now with Texas Tech.
Yeah, and Roy wasn't 64, though.
Yeah, he was 37.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, your point to, like, if this works out, that's what we'll say. That's the reason why we'll say it worked out. I agree. All right. I assume, but maybe I'm being erroneous. Is Mark Adams pop up next for you on your list at number 9, Greg?
He does. He does, and that was obviously my 9 and 10 could have been interchanged,
yeah.
But I went with the guy that was the incumbent, or he was already there, so I put Mark Adams at 9.
Okay. Jed?
Yeah, like Gurley had said, I guess you can kind of flip around these guys. I have more optimism for T.J. Otzelberger at Iowa State, but he was my number 9.
Curtis?
Jamie Dixon, TCU.
Wow.
He's yet to have a winning record in the Big 12. His highest mark is 9-9. His best player is declared for the draft. He could come back. He does return Mike Miles, who's an all-freshman, Big 12 freshman team, but his incoming class is about 95. I just think he's a known commodity right now, and that known commodity is he's not winning. It's losing 10 to 12 games every year in conference.
Yeah, that's interesting. We got our first bold prediction. Greg, your reaction to Jamie Dixon being at 9 for Curtis?
Well, not to fast forward, but I have him as my 8th, and simply because Otzelberger and Adams needed to be 9 and 10. But I agree with Curtis in that, there's a pretty good sample size there, and it's been, like you said, at best 9 and 9. So I don't want to give away my 8th pick, but I'm going to, and that's Jamie Dixon. So that means I have the Porter Mosiers and Bruce Weber's ahead of them. But there's a big sample size, and one player's leaving. Mike Miles is coming back, but at least, this transfer portal thing is not over. It's not like you can't just, there's no deadline. These guys can do it. And that, I don't think that's going to happen with Mike Miles, but you just never know.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I have Otzelberger as my next at number 9, just for all the reasons that have been stated. I will put him ahead of Adams. And listen, both of these guys have the opportunity to go prove us wrong, but I'll put him ahead of Adams because he did at least have a 500-ish record at UNLV. What was that record? I've got his page up here. Hang on one second. He had at UNLV.
It's his first year, wasn't it? His second year he fell back?
Well, I thought he was overall one below, 29 and 30.
Yeah.
17 and 15, 12 and 6 in the Mountain West in 1920. Last year, 12 and 15, 8 and 10 overall. But he is known to be a recruiter. I can tell you from talking to the people in Vegas. And he won, by the way, 70 and 33 at South Dakota State and getting to the NCAA tournament twice. He took over a team that was already up and running, went to the NCAA twice and then to the NIT. No shame in going to the NIT. He was 14-2 in league. He just didn't win the league tournament to get the automatic bid. So I think there's more success on the resume there for him, and so that's why he makes it at number 9. And Don't we have to give some credit to the fact that, you know, Iowa State had a lot of guys they could have chosen from? Like, Iowa State could have hired Mark Adams. At that time, he was just the guy sitting next to Chris Beard. They didn't call Texas Tech going, can we talk to Mark Adams? They got, you know, Otzelberger. So, theoretically, they're significantly more optimistic about him than what you would think that even Texas Tech is about the about Mark Adams. So I think that makes sense to me. All right. So one shock so far, and that is Curtis with Jamie Dixon down that low. But, Greg, you said you've got Jamie Dixon at eight. You don't see any signs, and you don't. This doesn't have to be the case, but let me just ask the question then. Let me ask it a better way. Do you see any signs of it getting turned in the right direction for Dixon?
Well, we're looking at a 5-year sample size, like I said, and, you know, I'm looking at it right now. He started out his first year at 24-15, then you go 21-12, 23-14 in 2018 and made the NIT semifinal. But you follow that up with 16-16 and 12-14. And it definitely has the ability to go up, but recruiting, you mentioned that he's, you know, 95th in this recruiting class. You never know who's coming or going, and this league is such a monster that, you know, I think I'd probably put more into TJ Otzelberger, a guy that can recruit, knows that area. Iowa State isn't going to be down for long, so if you're TCU, where do you go? You know, who are you beating? And when we get 30 minutes later and we go into the Kansas, Baylor's, Texas, and West Virginia's, and even Oklahoma State, how do you get into that? I mean, what is getting better? Is it getting in the sixth spot instead of the ninth spot? I guess that would be improvement, but still, it's kind of like Kansas football. Like, what, you know, how are we going to get to where we want to go, and what is that? And so that's probably a better question than can Jamie Dixon do it? What is considered better?
All right, I've got Bruce Weber at number eight. I think the talk of him retiring, the fact that he's late to get on the transfer bandwagon and he's just got on at this point, he's taken a tumble. I think there's some upside. I think Dixon, yeah, I probably shouldn't. I'm probably disappointed in myself for not giving Weber, but I don't see the guys that are there or the transfers that are coming in making it better next year. And I just think that there's a strong likelihood that he's fired after next season. So I've got him at eight. Curtis?
I've got Otzelberger at eight. It is hard to judge his UNLV tenure, never really had his team, but their incoming class for this year is 19, 2 4-star kids. I know he's got a problem with one of them, but he was starting to get players there. I think it's going to be a lot whether or not he can hang on to Tyrese Hunter. He's a 4-star point guard that signed when Prohm was there. If he can keep him, I think it's a nice start. But I'll give him some credit that he can get some guys.
Okay. Jed?
Not to disappoint Chris Bohlig, but I had Jamie Dixon for a lot of the reasons that Greg was talking about. I just don't see it getting better. TCU and Fort Worth, I know, is a good place where they should have a lot of talent, but just really not a lot of success. I don't see it getting better moving forward. The last thing I want to say is I kind of looked at this when we were doing it, like 7 through 10, I kind of all put in one tier. And then I have another little pocket, and then obviously Greg said the big boys.
All right, so let's get 7 in here real quick, and we'll break. Who do you have at 7, Greg?
I got Porter Mosier, and it was a tough one. And I kind of agree with what was just said, that 7 through 10 is a mishmash of guys, and it's unfair to be 10th. It's unfair to be 7th because I think they're all in that group. And then there's a little 5 and 6, and then the top 4. So I'm going to put Porter Mosier in there because I got Bruce Weber at 6 because I do think he's a really good basketball coach. I think the entire, you know, whole thing for him, I think, is a struggle when you look at recruiting and longevity and all that. But I do think that Bruce Weber is a very good basketball coach. Now, can you do everything? So I put him ahead of Porter Mosier, but Porter Mosier's proven it. He's made a Final Four. He had a great run this year, and he finally decided to step up. And it's going to be similar to the Shaka Smart. You know, he turned down a couple jobs over the last couple years, but now he's kind of like, okay, I think it's time for me to make my move. And he goes, and we'll see what he does. I mean, it didn't work out great for Shaka, but I do think that Porter Mosier's got some staying power and at a really, really good athletic department, and it's pretty similar to the Texas job, because basketball is not the most important sport there, let's just be honest. And so you can kind of fly under the radar. You got the resources. You can do what you want. And I think Porter Moser will be really good in Norman.
All right. I've got Jamie Dixon at number 7. Curtis, who do you go with at 7?
I've got Bruce Weber. 7 conference wins the last 2 seasons combined, and 3 of them came at the end of last year, and I think really meant nothing. The fact that players don't want to play for him, I think, is a major problem, and there's not much coming down the pike either.
Okay. Jed?
I also had Bruce Weber for all the reasons that everyone's already said. I just worry about how long he'll actually be at the school.
Yeah, I just think the end is coming. He deserves more. If it was a resume thing that we were voting on, I would put him higher. 2 league titles, 2 an Elite Eight, but that's not what it's about. It's about here moving forward, and I don't see it moving forward. I see him moving out after this year. We'll take a break, come back, get our – we've got number 6 for Greg, get the 6 for the rest of us in the top 5. The big boys loom ahead. It's our Big 12 college basketball coaches rankings.
The Program with Seren Petro.
Our program's going to be more important than any of you. Don't ever think that you're more important than this program.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, proudly brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley Davidson North. Find them online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Best selection right now. Get in and check it out at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. See him in person at I-29 and Tiffany Springs, just south of the airport. Greg Gurley, KU color analyst, with us as we're breaking down our Big 12 coaches. It's going to be interesting to see who Gurley has at number 1, as there is actually a real reason to not pick Bill Self for the first time in a long time. I'm not saying you shouldn't pick Bill Self, but there's actually somebody else who's won a championship now in this league. That has not been the case at any point. Let me make sure of that. I'm thinking, and he pointed, was Tubby Smith at Texas Tech for 5 minutes or something? So I guess maybe he'd won a championship. I have to think back. Anyway, I digress. Bruce Weber at 6 for Greg Gurley. Do you think that he can turn the corner and get back to contending for a league championship, Greg?
Can he? For sure. Will he? I question that. I mean, it's – you kind of mentioned it, that he's kind of there was some retirement talk. I don't know if that was unfounded or what, but I heard that too, and it obviously didn't happen. But the bottom line is he's a very good basketball coach. But in today's world, you got to be able to recruit, you got to be able to keep kids, and in today's world, it's even more difficult if you do recruit the good kids and get them to stay, because things are changing. Is he at the twilight of his career? Probably. But I still have him as a really good basketball coach. That's why I have him at number 6.
All right. I've got Porter Moser at number 6. This may be too high. He is not upon – one of the things that shocked me in doing the review of Porter Moser is, you know, you think of him, you're like, oh, man, look how well he's done in the NCAA tournament. Goes to the Final Four in 18, finishes tied for first in his league. You know, he won the league that year. And by the way, that was his 5th year at Loyola. But backs that up by going 12-6 and being tied for first the next year. Goes into the NIT. I don't care how far you go in the NIT. Kids aren't motivated, particularly coming off a Final Four year. So he loses in the first round of the NIT. Next year, he's 2nd in his league. So, again, proving that he can win in league, something that Shaka Smart never did at the Atlantic 10 level. Then this year, again, 1st in his league, 16-2 in league, 26-5 overall, and goes to the Sweet 16, thereby backing up the Final Four. However, he had really kind of a middling career previous to that. Arkansas, Little Rock, 54-34, no postseasons. That's over 3 years. 4 years at Illinois State. 51-67, losing record in conference, 22-50. He's fired from that job. And now at Loyola of Chicago, he has come in and gone 188-140. I'm sorry, it took him 7 years to finally get Loyola into the tournament. But there was steady progress, seemingly, for the most part, being made the whole time before he got there. So I'm a little bit leery that maybe he caught lightning in the bottle. One great player in the middle was obviously a big part of the equation for him, but I tend to think that he's grown as a coach, and I think, as you put it, Greg, I'll say draped with a good program around him, I think he's going to do pretty good. I don't know that sitting him here, I might regret this. I might say that that was too high to put him at six. I don't know that if we're still calling him six at Oklahoma, you know, 4 years from now, he still has this job, though. I think they want that to go up, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I'm sure that Joe Castiglione is listening to our program today.
Yes.
And if in our rankings having him at sixth or seventh, he's definitely going to base a lot of Porter Moser's future off our opinions.
He called in and had Jed put him on hold so he could listen.
I will say this. Another one of the reasons why I maybe have him too high is because Joe Castiglione is his athletic director, and I know that that guy knows what he's doing. And so if there are things that he needs, yeah, Castiglione's going to get it for him.
Can Porter Moser, he can recruit some different kids out of Chicago now. He's got his roots, and he's one of those guys that now he's at a Power 5. He's going to – I would imagine we're going to see an influx of kids from that area because – now that he's got that job and he's made the inroads up there. And yeah, he's a rising star, even though you look at – you went through his records at his other institutions, and they weren't great. But it's what have you done for me lately, and that's how you get new jobs. And I think our conference as a whole was improved big time with him entering at Oklahoma.
All right, let's go. And then, guys, what do you have at six?
I have Mike Boynton. He's such a mystery to me. Breakout season, but he's losing his best player and perhaps his second best player, Cade Cunningham going number one. Avery Anderson has entered the draft, though he may return. They still haven't heard from the NCAA on their appeal. I really don't know what's going to happen with him moving forward. I had him at 10 last year. Maybe six is too high, but he's really a mystery to me.
Okay, Jed?
I'll probably be proved a fool here, but I have Bob Huggins. I worry about his health so much. He's 67 years old. I know that he did a remarkable coaching job and continues to do it at West Virginia. But the fact that he's already had health problems once in his career and just I don't know how much longer that guy's going to coach. If we're talking about moving forward, put Bob Huggins at six for me.
But he's in great shape.
Yeah, totally. Tip top. He's... Relative to anybody on this show, me, you, Curtis, he's in better shape than all of us because I smoke, what, 17 packs of cigs a day. So
he's in great shape, said the guy who needs four or five paces to slow from a trot. You know, let's be honest. Who am I to question Bob Huggins' health? I love the Huggy Bear, but I do think it's a fair point at 67, and he's had some health issues. You know, how long does he do it? How long does he have his health? I think you said not. I think you're thinking not how long does he coach, how long does he live?
Well,
that's what you're thinking.
No, right. I'd like to not have that be the case, but maybe.
Kind of is how long he coaches. I mean,
I do think he's alive. I think he's going to coach until he physically can't do it. So, yeah, I'm with you. But I'm still, Huggy Bear is not going down there for me. I'll go next. My number five is Mike Boynton, though. Let's continue that discussion. I'll be interested to see where Greg goes at number five. I've got Boynton, and I think that's interesting. I'm with you, Curtis. I'm going to be bullish on him because Oklahoma State gave him a lot of money and they seem to believe in him. He's also got a young team beyond. I think Cunningham's going to be the only guy that ends up leaving, so I think they'll be better. I do think that the recruiting, I think he can recruit. You know, he's going to need to be able to coach it, and I think he showed signs of being able to do that as well.
For sure.
His next class coming in, he's got number 30, number 106, 166, 181, 189, 199. It's kind of a blend of Bruce Weber's and then one highly thought of guy, maybe a couple. Let's give Wade Taylor at 106 some credit. So I think he's going to recruit. It's a lot easier to make it all fit when you got the number one player in the country, and that player he got because his brother was on the staff. So I think he's a long way away from my top four, but I've got Boynton at five. Greg?
I do as well. I got Mike Boynton at number five. I think he's a guy, he's an up-and-comer. He was kind of a no-name when he got the job. Not many people heard of him. He really didn't have any local ties or Midwest ties. You know, he's a South Carolina guy. But he's done an unbelievable job. And like you said, you know, it helped to have the number one player in the country. It helped tremendously. And any Kansas fans can't get upset at what Mike Boynton did by hiring Cade's brother because – our last two national championships were because of Ed Manning and Ronnie Chalmers. So,
right.
And You know, but again, it's a fun style of play. I loved watching him. I don't really know Mike. I know Scott Sutton and Barry Henson really well, who are coaches down there. They love him. They speak really highly of him. I know Bill is very close with Mike Boyden as well, and just seems like a good guy, a guy you want to play for, a fun style of play. I mean, when we played him in Stillwater this year, we would make a basket, and they would get a layup on the other end with about 26 on the shot clock. They played fast. They had the athletes to do it. It'll be interesting to see what he does next year. I mean, I think they got a big-time core coming back, but you have the number one player in the country not going to be there. So does that work, that kind of frenzied atmosphere? We're going to find out, but I got him at five.
All right, Curtis, who do you got at five?
I've got Moser at five. I think we know he can coach. What we don't know is if he can get talent. His incoming class to Loyola for next season is number 129 in the country. Does anyone know the name Milton Doyle?
Milton Burrell.
Milton Doyle. He's the only player recruited by Porter Moser who has ever played in an NBA game when he didn't start. So as long as he's been in the league or he's been in the business, he has got his hands on one NBA guy. And, I mean, at some point, I'd like to see a little bit more of that. We don't know if he can get those guys. I assume he has a better chance of getting into Oklahoma than he did in Loyola. But we don't know about that yet.
Well, we know either Mike Boynton or Porter Moser is going to crack the top four for Jed Marshall. Jed, who's at five?
I have Porter Moser at number five. I think at Oklahoma you're going to have a lot of stability, a lot of the reasons that Greg talked about with Joe Castiglione. They recognize where they're at, something that Lebo's talked about in the past, that they know they're a football school. If you show that you're going to be a good basketball program, they'll come out and support you. They won't run you out. So I think that he'll be able to do that. He's had a little bit of success recruiting Kansas City, which isn't too far. Porter Moser at five.
All right, and then you've got Boynton at four, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that leaves the rest of us then with Bob Huggins, Scott Drew, Chris Beard, and Bill Self for our top four. We will break here, come back, and talk about the top of the Big 12. Does anybody knock off Bill Self, or has anybody even gotten close to Bill Self? Beard now at Texas. Again, these are our rankings now moving forward. So Beard goes to Texas with a lot more money and a lot bigger profile program now draped around himself. Does he move up to the same level as Bill Self? Does Scott Drew move up there now that he's got a championship? We'll do that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
What do you think is coursing through my veins right now?
Cheese whiz.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program proudly brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Worth, I-29 at Tiffany Springs. The moment you step in the door, you will realize the difference. Your family with Worth Harley-Davidson North. Rick Worth, Chris Guerin, and all the guys. Happy to take care of you. Best time to get up there is right now. Huge selection of Harleys and great riding weather to come. It's at Worth Harley-Davidson, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. That's on I-29 just south of the airport. Find them online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com. Greg Gurley, KU color analyst, is with us. We're breaking down, ranking the Big 12 coaches from 10 to 1. We're through five with everybody except for Jed. Jed gave us number four, Mike Boynton. He had the Bob Huggins at six because he's worried about his health. The rest of us have Bob Huggins, Scott Drew, Chris Beard, and Bill Self to go in some order. Sleeper, I think Greg Gurley will go with Self at number one, but let's find out. Is he at number four? Greg, who do you got number four?
Bill Self is not at number four. I do have Bob Huggins at number four, and that was a close one. I think they're interchangeable with my number three, which I'll get to later. But Bob Huggins is an institution. He's a guy that's won a ton of games, been to a Final Four. But my number three is a guy who went to a Final Four and played for a national championship. So I think that's why I had Bob where he's at. I think he's great for our league. I think we don't have enough characters anymore that can coach like Bob Huggins. But I look kind of like with Jamie Dixon. You know, we've seen a large sample size of Bob Huggins and Jamie Dixon, and they kind of have the same team every year. And not to, again, to compare the two because they're different, but Bob Huggins always has a team that seems to kind of struggle offensively. They play very physical. They definitely get after you, but they never seem to win that big game when it comes to tournament time, so that's why I have them at four.
Yeah, and let's say this. I've got Bob Huggins at four as well. Just raw coaching ability. This year he lost his top recruit, a top 100 kid, highest recruit in the country to injury, or highest recruit on his class to injury, and then he had his best player, his all first-team preseason All-Big 12 player, leave the team after like 8 or 9 games and transfer down to Kentucky. And yet he was still fighting for second place in this league right to the bitter end, right? Or did he even get it? Did he have second because of the win percentage?
I think he was third.
No, because KU was second.
KU was second. Okay, I knew it was coming down. There was a path that, you know, based upon, you know, everyone was going to, KU was going to play more games, that actually West Virginia could get there. So he finishes third with all that attrition. Bob Huggins is a tremendous coach. I'm with you. I love the point about being a character. I think he's great for the league. I think West Virginia's style is great for the league and makes all the other teams better as they look to the tournament. So I've got Bob Huggins at 4, and Curtis, I'll bet you do too.
Yep, masterful job this past year by the Huggy Bear, I think, for all the things you guys have said. Number 6 in the March 1st AP poll. Last time he was ranked that high that late, 2010. The Jed's health concerns are legit, but there's no one behind him that I would put in front of him on my list.
I don't know what Jed's health concerns. I don't know what Jed's health concerns have to do with the Huggy Bear, but okay, I guess.
I will say this. Saran, one of your Syracuse alums, Tony Caridi, who's the play-by-play voice of the Mountaineers, one of the great guys in the business, talked about that they do a two-hour essentially Hawk Talk with Bob Huggins. I think it's Huggies, whatever it's called. They do an hour of basketball, then they do an hour of just politics, local stuff, whatever. And he said it's the greatest 2 hours of radio every week. I'm going to start tuning in and listening, because they say, I mean, Huggins is just, going back to my character statement and yours, he's just fun to listen to, and he's just a guy. I mean, he's just a guy you'd want to hang out with in a bar, in the locker room, on the court, whatever. Oh, and by the way, he really knows how to coach.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And I love, he's one of my favorite interviews of all time, because he keeps you on your toes. He's you got to ask him a real question, or he'll just go, no. Like, he's not going to do the work for you, but, you know, if you ask him good questions, he'll give you thoughtful answers. I'm a huge fan of the Huggy Bear. All right, Greg, so who do you got at 3? Sounds like Chris Beard.
Yep, Chris Beard. I mean, he's the one everybody's talking about all over the country for good reason. Like his brand of basketball, they can really guard. You know, as we said, the Lubbock people are very upset. They've already covered up his picture, and it kind of, you know, they and usually when you get so mad at a guy, it's because you were well respected and very well liked. They hated to see him leave. I mean, the Illinois people are still mad at Bill Self, even though in their heart of hearts they understand why he did what he did. But nobody wants to accept that Texas is better than Texas Tech. Nobody wants to accept that Kansas is a better job than Illinois. They just don't want to do that. And when somebody leaves, it hurts. And so I think he's got the resources there. Not that he didn't have them at Tech, but let's be honest, Austin, Texas is about in the top 2 or 3 best cities in the country right now. I mean, it's a fun town. It's good size. You know, all the cool kids are going there. And so, and he's an alum. It makes perfect sense. And doesn't even talk about his coaching ability. He can really get it done, and be interesting to see where he takes them.
Yeah, I agree. And so you've got Scott Drew at 2. How close is Scott Drew to Bill Self?
Well, I'm going to be biased. I don't think he's close, but how close? I mean, they both have one ring. Bill obviously has more league championships than anyone's ever going to have. I will answer that question a little bit better this time next year, because we don't know who's coming back for Baylor, but let's be honest, I can't imagine Teague, Mitchell, or Butler are coming back. It was kind of a stretch for two of those three to come back this year. So the guy can really recruit, and he's obviously used the transfer portal to his benefit, the old transfer system, and now the portal's even easier. But let's have this discussion next April, and because Bill Self has proven that he can reload and rebuild really quick. I mean, 3 of our 15 Big 12 titles were done when we had to replace 5 starters. So I think there's still a pretty big gap, but I'm biased.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Certainly the resume, the Career Achievement Award, goes to Bill Self by a long margin. The question is, has Scott Drew elevated Baylor to the level that they are now a national power? And my answer to that question for 3 is no, because I have Scott Drew at number three and not at number two, because I think Scott Drew is going to resemble much more Jim Boeheim. I mentioned Norm Sloan. That's an old one. You got to be an old fart to know Norm Sloan at NC State. But Boeheim's the best comparison. I think he's less Jay Wright. That is a guy who won one and then won another one and is a threat to win one every year at his current program. I think it's going to be more like, hey, you know, he's clearly very good. He's put his team in a position with two other Elite Eights that you know, he could win another one, but I would bet money, and there's a lot of odds on my side, that he won't win another one. I think his career will look more like Jim Boeheim, that it's a program that's a very good program, like Syracuse, but maybe not a great program, like Kansas, and he's a very good coach or even great coach, but not one of the all-time greats of the game. And so I think Scott Drew will be third because I think he's going to regularly finish third in this league, because I think Chris Beard, who I've got at number two, is now at Texas. That's the threat to Bill Self. Is Chris Beard, with everything you just said, Greg, about what you know, Austin, the money at Texas, the facilities at Texas, his comfort at Texas, his knowledge of the state of Texas, I think he can recruit. He was recruiting it in Lubbock, so he's going to recruit at Texas. I think if there's a threat, I actually think Beard is the guy, and I think Beard might be closer to Self than Drew is closer to Beard. Now, go back to the finals next year, and I'll change my opinion. But right now, I think Beard's closer to Self than Drew is closer to Beard. But I've got Drew at three, Beard at two, Self at one. Curtis?
I've got Beard at three, Drew at two, Self at one. Beard can clearly coach. He's going to get better players, even better players at Texas. I don't think the players are going to get any worse that Scott Drew is getting at Baylor than he got before. He got to it, won a championship with guys in the 50s and 60s. He's going to get better players. I think he'll figure that out. And Bill Self has been the only guy in the room for more than a decade. He isn't anymore, but he's still the best coach in the best spot.
All right, I accuse both you and Greg Gurley of severe recency bias by taking Drew over Beard. So if Texas Tech makes one more shot, do you still have Drew in their championship game in 19? Do you still have Drew ahead of Beard?
Say that again.
If Texas Tech makes one more basket and doesn't lose by, what, 1 point in overtime, or doesn't go into overtime against Virginia, and Beard gets a championship, do you still have Drew in front of Beard now?
Wow, that's pretty good. Be recency, like you said. I'd probably give it to Drew.
Okay. Jed, what do you got? 3-2-1.
I have Chris Beard at three, Scott Drew at two, just the coaching job that he's done. I know it takes into account the past, but he literally took it from ashes and won a national championship and then Bill Self at one.
But again, career achievement is not what we're picking.
No, a lot of the same reasons. We have literally a minute and 20 seconds left. I'm sorry I didn't have more time for you.
No, I'm just chastising your answer. I don't need you to expand anymore. I think it's wrong. And I will offer the wager. I will take all three actions over any two years or more. And like I said, give me a month. And if I know who's coming back for Baylor, I might even enact it right now. We know Texas is going to have losses, but I will definitely take regular season wins, conference wins, tournament wins, championships. I'll take Beard over Drew head-to-head at their two spots. And that's why I've got him number two, and that's why you're all wrong. There it is.
I'll bet you
a
dollar.
Well, you are the host.
Greg, you're the man. We could do 5 hours on this. This is always one of my favorite hours. I love doing it with you. I love your knowledge. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will talk again soon, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Greg Gurley, great basketball mind, one of our basketball insiders, of course, color analyst for the Kansas Jayhawks. Those are our rankings as we sit here today, the SEC to come. We're also going to blend this year the Big 12 and SEC, so stay tuned for that down the road as well.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
I love a good blend, usually chocolate, vanilla. 3,000 hits, 400 homers, 5 gold gloves. How many players have done it? Brought to you by Good Sense.